Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, your guide to better cricket. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. We're here to help you out for a little while. And who are we? Well, my name's David Hinchliffe. I look after things here. And then helping me to help you are two very fine cricket coaches. The first is the director of cricket at Millfield School. It's Mark Garraway. Hello, Garris. We're just talking before the show started there. Your season has started.
Yeah, we had a couple of festivals last week. So our Mayor's 11, the top side, I suppose, the eldest side, went up to Shrewsbury and played up there against Worcester Academy, Worksop and Shrewsbury. Struggled, actually, which is going to be interesting for the year because obviously they follow in fairly some pretty good sides that have done very well at that festival and beyond. So it's going to be an interesting one to manage. And then the under 15 sides I work with played against Merchant Taylors and Tunbridge in some 20-20 and 30 over fixtures over 3 days. Every team playing four times, lots of coaching in between the games, which was great for all of the coaches involved. Yeah, and that was awesome, and we managed to do all right in that one. So we won our last three games, which was pleasing to see, with lots of people having lots of opportunity to do different things than they normally do.
Yeah, it gives you plenty to think about as well before you get into the real meat of the season. You've got some things to look at and things to surprise you and things that go as expected, and you can move forward, can't you? It's all good. Outside cricket, lovely. Can't beat that. Secondly, it's the head of cricket performance at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. Hello, Lavers. How's it going?
Really well, thanks. Really well. Had some good training the last few days. Sun's been out. Sun cream's been on. It's been all right down here.
Cricket indoors is all well and good, but it should be played under a lovely sky with a gentle breeze.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's get into the questions this week. A couple of questions that have been sent in by listeners to the show or readers to the Pitch Vision website. And we do our best to answer those questions and then pick a winner. The best question of the week gets an online coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And Jahal's the first person to have sent in a question this week. And he says, I'm 17 years old. I bowl right arm seam. And when I bowl, I sometimes get a pain in my lower left back. Is this serious? What should I do?
Well, I'm not sure whether it's serious or not, but I think your body is telling you something there. So first thing I would do is stop bowling. I would go and see a physio, or probably a doctor first and then a physio. I would get them to do some tests on you and on your back. I wouldn't get them to necessarily MRI you straight away. There's a couple of tests that you can do. You can give a doctor your history of when it comes on and how it comes on. Same if you see a physio. I'd really take their advice on it, to be honest, because you're reporting pain, and when pain is reported and when it's reported in that area, then it's probably telling you that it's time to stop and get some professional help. So that would be my first port of call. Now, one of the things that they might do, because not all physios and not all doctors are specialists in bowling actions, there are only a few that would be, actually. But what they probably would tell you is go and get your action video to maybe bowl three or four balls, get somebody to video it on your phone, and then have a look at it to see if there's any obvious side flexion, any obvious bend. You're a right arm bowler, so bend, if you take an image from the back with your spine shaping towards the left-hand side of the screen, if at point of release and just prior to point of release, if that's happening, then I should imagine that you've got a bit of excessive side flexion, which is causing a pinch at those key peak forces going through the body at that time. So that would be my starting call. I would stop bowling. I'd go and seek some professional help. Your services around you would be doctor, physio and bowling coach. And that would be my starting point.
One of the things people say to me when they report any kind of pain when they're bowling is, well, it's okay though, because it goes away after a couple of minutes. And I say to them, well, that is proving that it's not okay, because your body's natural defense system is flooding your system with painkiller to make sure that it doesn't hurt anymore. but there's still an injury there, so you need to get someone to have a look at it. So yeah, just because it goes away after a few minutes, don't think of that as a reason to just, oh, I'll just power through it. It'll be fine. You know, that kind of thing is a little bit out of date now, powering through, isn't it? So you need to think of an alternative strategy. Lavers, when you have someone who is potentially getting injured and potentially it's something to do with their bowling action, they picked up an injury, they've recovered from it and they're coming back in again, what kind of things do you look for in terms of changing the action to reduce the chances of the injury?
Well, I guess depending on the injury, we're looking at what's the cause in the first place. So we're going back to the original technique and we're trying to identify what is the cause of the pain that's been created or the injury that's been created. So in this case, it does sound like a bit of lateral flexion, which is putting a little bit of stress on that lower back, and it's creating something that's not uncommon with a fast bowler. If it's left untreated for a long time, it can get serious. It can lead to things like stress fractures and things that happen with a lot of the time with fast bowlers. But if you fix it early enough, it's something that can be adapted to a degree. So we'll be looking in this instance at trying to remove as much of that sideways flexion from the body through the action at the point of release as we can, and try and get the body just tilting forwards a little bit more, or at least being a bit more upright. And there's a couple of ways we can go about that. We can try and lead someone towards a new line, so we can try and get them following something with their head and their body and their shoulders, so they're moving a straight line, or we can try and box someone in and restrict them to force them into a new line. So we can either lead them there or we can force them there. So in this instance, yeah, I'd usually try and go with the method of leading someone there first of all. So we usually put a line down on the floor and we try and get someone to bowl and follow through towards that target and get their head and shoulders going along that line towards the stumps or wherever it might be. Or if that isn't working, we can put a few intervention poles in along the offside of the bowler, and from the point where he's jumping through to the point of the end of his run-up or through his run-up, and they will again try and manipulate the bowler's body position so he gets directed in a straighter line, and your body kind of finds a way to try and do it a lot of the time, and sometimes it won't, and it might have to be something that we do ourselves. So aside from letting our body or our mind try and fix it, there might be some obvious things that are causing that. So you might see that the lateral flexion is coming from our feet being crossed over slightly and pointing towards fine leg, or our arms having a lot of sideways movement in their pathway, so that when they do extend and pull back, they're actually going quite a long way away from the body and causing some lateral flexion. So we're looking for the cause, and we're going to see if we can reduce that a little bit. And it might be there are some other things we can improve along the way as well. So we can improve that stability, we can improve that core and body strength, so we can be slightly more resistant to whatever the problem is. And in this instance, it sounds like it's probably a little bit of lateral flexion, but there could be any number of reasons for it. But that sounds like the majority vote, I would have thought.
Yeah, that stability point at the end is quite good. You know, one thing that people work on a lot when they're working on core stuff is the front and the sides, and they forget a little bit about the back. But of course, the core goes all the way around. It's not just the abs. So you make sure you get it a little bit, that posterior core work as well. You know, the stuff where you're hinging from the hips and then standing back up again. If you think of your traditional deadlift, that kind of movement, you don't necessarily have to lift up huge weights, but training that kind of movement is an important thing that people sometimes miss. You know, they might do their squats, they might do their lunges, but they may forget a little bit about the hip hinging sometimes. So don't forget about that one. That will help a little bit.
Yeah, it's very easy to think about that kind of anterior chain, which is all the muscles that snap forwards and get everything traveling in a straight line towards the target, and forget that they're the muscles that are accelerating the ball forwards, accelerating your body forwards. But you also need a method of slowing the body down after that in a safe way, and the posterior chain is going to help a little bit in that way. So having a bit of emphasis on both sides, and I know that inevitably the anterior chain for a bowler, for instance, is going to get a hell of a lot more workload because they're bowling a lot. So you've got to try and balance that out a little bit by working the body as a whole rather than focusing on that. I have a similar battle actually with we don't do a lot of rowing at the school, but one of our boys has done particularly well over the last couple of years, and it's managing his kind of own workload initially was quite difficult because everything he did, you can imagine, is in the opposite direction. It's all pulling activities. So trying to get him into get his body in a position where actually he's still a very balanced athlete and he's strong. He has particular strength in one direction, but he's still very good and able to balance that out sort of physically by making sure that his pushing activities, his flexion activities are all kind of, they're not going to be completely balanced, but they're all active. And if they're all active, they're all working, and they can all have an element of strength in there. So similar to bowling, but in the opposite way around.
And Gareth, I've seen recently, especially led by Steph Jones, the drilling of bowlers in static positions. So rather than getting to go through the full action, even at slow speeds, it's, you know, hold that position, provide resistance, you know, through bands and so on, and weights and things like that, and then hold that position for a long time until you get you're sort of locking those positions in. Where's your thinking on that? Have you seen much of that? What do you think about it?
Yeah, we've used it actually. And we've used it pretty well, I think. Probably not as well as Steph, but pretty well. And it's had some benefit for some of our bowlers. I mean, it's like any drill, mate. You know, it suits some people and it doesn't suit others. And again, Steph would probably disagree with me on that one. But we've had some success with two or three guys, and it's definitely helped them to be able to get a better understanding of the positions at different stages of a bowling action. It's definitely got them to understand how their legs work in particular, I would suggest. Really got that understanding of how they can, you know, get a bit more rigidness, stiffness in that front leg, and also the drop step that he talks about as being quite positive for a number of people in helping them to lengthen their delivery stride and go towards their target more, has been excellent. So I'm a big fan of a lot of the work that Steph does, but I'll say, you know, with any drill that anybody comes up with, whenever it's batting, bowling, fielding, whatever, it's about applying that to the individuals. And if you can apply that appropriately to the individuals, then it will be fantastic.
Next question is from Dale. And Dale says, as a wicketkeeper, I am in awe of the way Dhoni pulls off his trademark lightning stumpings. And I've been trying to find a way to emulate his method of catching the ball without the traditional give that all the textbooks advise. Well done, by the way, for finding a textbook. However, I've experimented with soft hands versus strong hands and open gloves versus cup gloves, but I can't find a reliable technique for taking the ball cleanly. Mostly the ball bounces out of my gloves when I try this. As a coach, do you think it's possible to learn this method? And if so, how would you go about it?
I suppose it's about which method are we talking about, but let's take it back to the question for me is around stumpings and trying to emulate Dhoni. So Dhoni's fantastic at not having a significant give with his hands, because as soon as we start giving when we're standing up to the stumps with our hands are going to be moving backwards. That wastes time. It also creates further distance between the stumps and our hands, and often unnecessarily. Because if you watch any of the world-class close catchers catch the ball, none of them give with their hands. They give with their body, and this is what Dhoni is very good at. You know, you only got to spend a little bit of time with Dhoni, watch him bat, you know, watch him walk around hotels to know that this is one heck of a laid-back character. This is one guy that's got relaxation going through his veins, even in the most, I suppose, cauldron-like times on a cricket field, and this personality transcends over into having a very relaxed body when the ball's coming in. So the body takes the impact rather than the hands. So the hands can actually give very small distance, if any distance at all, and the body withstands the impact and receives the impact. This enables him to reduce the distance between his hands and the bails, which obviously reduces time that it will take to whip the bails off. So then let's go back to you. So whether you're going with a cup technique, an open hand technique, a give technique or not, the thing that isn't happening at the moment, and I should imagine, is that your body is very tense. So what we need to do is relax the body, and we can relax the body by learning how to breathe properly. So I should imagine probably that you're somebody who is holding their breath as the ball's coming into that catching zone, which is going to make your body go a bit harder, and as a result, the ball is going to bounce out of the hands irrespective of whatever method you're looking to try and catch. So use your breathing, try and breathe normally when you're keeping wicket rather than hold your breath would be my first thing. Second thing would be try and relax your shoulders, because a lot of tension, particularly in wicket keepers, resonates within the shoulder area. Certainly when I felt that a player was going to run down the wicket against one of the spinners, I would often feel tension start to reside within my shoulder area. So again, keeping those shoulders moving. Smiling is another good one, because if we smile, then often the tension goes out of our face, which then goes into our shoulders, which then goes down our body. So there's a number of different strategies without changing your technique that you can apply, which effectively will soften the body, which will allow you to receive the impact better. Peter Moores talks about the boxer. So the boxer gets knocked out when he's punch drunk on the ropes, or when he is coming in to try and knock the other guy out and he gets caught on the way in. And of course, when you're going in to knock the other guy out, your body is hard and it's not ready to receive an impact. And exactly the same thing applies when we're catching a cricket ball. Is if our body is soft and our body is ready to receive an impact, then it will mean that we're less likely to get the ball bouncing out of the hands, and we don't have to give quite so much in order to receive that impact. The giving process in your catch is increasing the time it's going to take to whip the bails off.
It's great to see, isn't it, Laver, someone sort of thinking about a problem, trying to come up with a few different ways of solving that problem, and then going and working on those things. That's a great process. And if you combine that with what Gareth said just there, with, you know, keeping yourself, not getting too stressed about it if it's not going right, but you know, still sort of driving towards that solution, that's not a bad way to go about it, isn't it? As long as you can keep your head.
Yeah, I guess that's what we all try and do to a degree as coaches, isn't it? We get a problem and maybe we already know a potential solution to it, but a lot of the time we've got to do a bit of thinking on our own. We've got to go and explore it and say, how can we counter this? And I'm sure that you and Gareth and I know I do come up with things every day, and you think, well, actually I don't have an automated response to this. I need to go and investigate and find something that's new and that's different, that's maybe gonna change this. And that's kind of a lot of the time the exciting part about coaching or playing and coaching yourself, or however you might describe it, because there are so many unknowns that we have to kind of decipher, and there isn't just a prescription for everything of this isn't working, do this and fix it, because otherwise everyone would be brilliant, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Wouldn't be much fun, would it, if everyone's brilliant, just like a load of robots playing cricket?
That's exactly.
Just perfect performance ever.
Which will probably be on TV within 20 years, to be fair.
I hope not. That'd be extremely boring.
Bit of robot cricket.
Yeah. Extremely
Channel
boring.
Channel 5.
But yeah, you can get... I feel like, you know, there's good in that and there's bad in that. You can get so tied up in working on different techniques that it just stresses you out and you're like, oh, well, I just can't find an answer here. And if you're in that mindset, you're always going to be in trouble. But if you take it as a positive, you go, right, okay, well, you know, I'm eliminating possibilities here. In the end, I'm going to get to the one that I want to get to. Then you never get frustrated with it. It's just everything is grist for the mill, isn't it? It's all data.
You've mentioned that before, haven't you? You've talked about there are so many realistic solutions to a problem. And yes, it is frustrating when one doesn't go right. But effectively, you are a step closer, aren't you? Even if the step you took wasn't in the right direction, you've discounted something, and maybe you're then the next one is the next step you take, and the next direction you go is the one that's gonna be the big impact on your game that's gonna change you. So I think that takes a little bit of, as a player, that can be quite difficult sometimes when you're going through these trying to go through these changes, you're trying to explore some different ways of doing things, and potentially at the same time you're also going through performances which might not be improving in the way you want them to be improving. You can see yourself not drifting in, or you can see a performance is not going the direction you want. But again, that having that bigger picture in mind, and as long as you're working towards something and you've got some kind of logical reasoning behind it, then you're probably going to get there in the end.
And that's just about all we've got time for on the show this week. We are going to head off in a moment, but before we do that, we need to decide on the winner of this week's competition. The online coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy and pitchvision.com is up for grabs. And the two competitors for that are Jahal and his back pain, and Dale and his wicket-keeping troubles. Which one did you prefer this week, Gareth?
I'm a bit biased, aren't I? So I'm going to go with Dale for his wicket-keeping ones. I'm sure you'll be a big fan of that as well, yeah. David. But also, I'm going to commend Wolf. I thought that was a fantastic follow-up question, which inspired some fairly good conversation between the three of us. So thanks to Wolf, but well done, Dale, this week.
Yeah, thanks, Wolf. And Wolf always makes it clear that he's not interested in having the chance to win the prize. He's always said that just getting the answers is prize enough for him. He says that to me almost every time he sends in something. So,
brilliant. Keep them coming, buddy.
Thank you, Wolf. Keep listening. That's brilliant. But if someone else was listening and did think, well, you know, I do like the answers, but I also wouldn't mind that prize, then how could they get in touch with the show to have their question answered?
They could give us a call on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email on coach@pitchvision.com.
And that's right, you can also get us on social media. You can contact us through the messaging system on pitchvision.com, or you can go to Facebook, facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy, or Twitter @pitchvisionacad. If you want to listen to the show every week, you can subscribe. That's easy to do. Go to your favourite podcast app, search for Pitch Vision Academy, tap on subscribe, away you go. You can do that on any device. And if you go to the Pitch Vision website, pitchvision.com/academy, and click on the podcast link, you'll find all the old show notes, all the old shows that you can download and stream and generally get completely up to date. There's loads of them, but if you're a masochist, you can start from the beginning and work your way through it. Also, you know, we've got very specific questions that if you're looking for specific answers, then you can search the archive there and find something if we've answered it before, which we've answered many, many questions now. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavers.
Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, guys.